Welcome to SCOTUscast, Declination of Supplemental Jurisdiction, Post-Decision Edition. Thanks for tuning in. On Monday, May 4th, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Carlsbad Technology v. HIF Bio. In this case, the Supreme Court considered whether appellate review of a federal district court order remanding a case to state court after having declined to exercise supplemental jurisdiction is barred because the order is based on a lack of subject matter jurisdiction. In a unanimous decision delivered by Justice Thomas, the court held that such a remand order is not based on a lack of subject matter jurisdiction and is therefore reviewable on appeal, thus reversing the Federal Circuit decision below. To discuss the decision, we welcome Covington and Burling attorney Brian Foster. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Foster.
Hello, my name is Brian Foster, and I'm an associate at the law firm of Covington & Burling, LLP, in Washington, D.C. Today, we're talking about the Supreme Court's recent decision in the case of Carlsbad Technology versus HIF Bio. On May 4, 2009, the court held unanimously, in an opinion by Justice Thomas, that when a district court declines to exercise supplemental jurisdiction over a case containing only state law claims and instead remands that case back to state court, the remand order is not based on a lack of subject matter jurisdiction for purposes of Section 1447 C and D of Title 28 of the United States Code. Well, that holding alone is surely enough to make this case a favorite of proceduralists, but wait, there's more. In the three concurring opinions, we find a minor skirmish in the ongoing battle between adherence to unambiguous statutory text and fidelity to stare decisis. All of this is wrapped up in just 14 brief pages in the U.S. reports. What does it all mean? Let's find out. This case began with a dispute between former business partners over patent ownership rights in a chemical compound they were developing to fight cancer. In September 2005, HIF Bio filed suit in California State Court against a number of defendants, including Carlsbad Technology. 2 months later, Carlsbad removed the action to federal district court. HIF Bio then amended its complaint, which asserted 13 causes of action. One claim was clearly federal in nature, RICO violations. Two more sought declaratory judgments for ownership and inventorship of the chemical. The nine remaining claims were pure state law causes of action, conversion, fraud, breach of contract, etc. On defendant's motion, the district court dismissed the RICO claim under Rule 12b-6, ruling that the plaintiffs had failed to adequately allege a racketeering claim. The district court then determined that all 12 remaining claims arose under state law and declined to exercise supplemental jurisdiction over those claims, since it had already dismissed the only federal claim in the case. The district court then remanded the case back to state court. Carlsbad appealed this to the Federal Circuit, arguing that HIF Bio's claims for declaratory judgment on ownership and inventorship presented federal questions of patent law that fell within the Federal Circuit's exclusive jurisdiction. But the Federal Circuit did not reach the merits of Carlsbad's arguments. Instead, it held that it lacked authority to hear the appeal and dismissed the appeal outright. The Federal Circuit based this decision on one of the provisions of the removal statute. 28 U.S.C. Section 1447D provides, with one exception not relevant here, that an order remanding a case to the state court from which it was removed is not reviewable on appeal or otherwise. That sounds pretty straightforward, but the Supreme Court has interpreted this statute to cover less than its words alone suggest. Back in 1976, in a case called Thermtron Products versus Hermannsdorfer, the Supreme Court reviewed a case where the district judge had remanded a case back to state court simply because his docket was too full and he thought he was too busy to hear it. The majority opinion by Justice Byron White linked Section 1447D with Section 1447C. That section authorizes remand of cases that had been removed, quote, improvidently and without jurisdiction, end quote. Thermtron held that the Section 1447D bar on appellate review of remand orders only applied to remands that were based on the grounds mentioned in Section 1447C, that is, remands for cases removed improvidently and without jurisdiction. Over the years, the Supreme Court has repeatedly reaffirmed this linkage in several cases dealing with Section 1447. Likewise, Congress has twice amended Section 1447C with no indication that it intended to overrule Thermtron and establish 1447D as a freestanding bar. Today, Section 1447C authorizes remands for lack of subject matter jurisdiction, and for any defect other than lack of subject matter jurisdiction, that is, defects in removal procedure. So if a district court remands a case back to state court on one of those two grounds, then under ThermTron, there can be no review on appeal. But if a district court remands a case back to state court for some other reason, such as my docket is too full, then ThermTron says an appeals court can review it. So back to the Federal Circuit in this case. It looked at Carlsbad's appeal and considered whether the district court's remand of HIF Bio's 12 state law claims was on the grounds mentioned in 1447C. No one argued that there had been a defect in the removal procedure, so the only issue was whether the remand was due to a lack of subject matter jurisdiction. Here again, the Supreme Court seemed to have spoken. In the 1988 case, Carnegie Mellon University versus Cohill, there the Supreme Court had held that a district court has discretion to remand a case back to state court rather than dismiss it outright when it declines to exercise supplemental jurisdiction over its claims. That's exactly what happened in the Carlsbad case. 2 years later, Congress codified supplemental jurisdiction in 28 U.S.C. Section 1367. Section 1367A broadly grants supplemental jurisdiction over state claims that are so closely related to federal claims that they form part of the same Article III case or controversy. Section 1367B limits that broad grant in certain diversity cases, not relevant here. And then Section 1367C establishes a district court's discretion to decline to exercise the supplemental jurisdiction granted in Section 1367A under some circumstances, such as when the federal claims have been dismissed and only state law claims remain, or when the state law claims predominate over the federal law claims. Again, that is what the district court did in this case. Based on the Cohill Supreme Court case and Section 1367, 9 of the 13 federal circuits have held that when a district court declines to exercise supplemental jurisdiction and remands a case back to state court, that remand is reviewable on appeal because it is not a remand for lack of subject matter jurisdiction under 1447C. These circuits reasoned that jurisdiction over those cases exists and the district court's remand is a discretionary act declining to exercise that jurisdiction. There can be no discretion when there is no jurisdiction in the first place. Therefore, the remand must be on some other ground, not mentioned in Section 1447C, and so the 1447D ban on review does not apply. So how, then, did the Federal Circuit decide that it lacked the authority to review the remand in this case? Well, it relied on the Supreme Court's 2007 decision in PowerX Corporation versus Reliant Energy Services, which suggested that, quote, it is far from clear that when discretionary supplemental jurisdiction is declined, the remand is not based on lack of subject matter jurisdiction for purposes of Section 1447C and Section 1447D, end quote. The PowerX case then held that if a remand can be colorably characterized as being based on a lack of subject matter jurisdiction, then it is unreviewable. The Federal Circuit read PowerX to undercut the persuasive force of those 9 other circuit opinions that had relied on Cohill to permit review of remands under Section 1367C. The Federal Circuit went on to hold that a remand based on declining to exercise supplemental jurisdiction, quote, necessarily involves a predicate finding that the claims at issue lack any independent basis of subject matter jurisdiction, end quote. Therefore, such remands can be colorably characterized as based on lack of subject matter jurisdiction, which puts them within Section 1447C, which means that review is prohibited under Section 1447D, so the Federal Circuit held. Carlsbad Technology petitioned the Supreme Court for certiorari, and the court agreed to take the case to resolve the circuit split that the Federal Circuit's decision had just created. Justice Thomas wrote for a unanimous court, rejecting the Federal Circuit's reading of PowerX. The court held that, just as the 9 other circuits had found, supplemental jurisdiction is subject matter jurisdiction, and the discretionary decision not to exercise that jurisdiction is not equivalent to saying that subject matter jurisdiction is lacking. Therefore, when a district court declines to exercise supplemental jurisdiction, the remand order cannot be colorably characterized as based on a lack of subject matter jurisdiction. The issue may not have been clear in 2007 when the court decided PowerX, but it is definitely clear now after Carlsbad Technology. When a district court remands claims to a state court after declining to exercise supplemental jurisdiction, the remand order is not based on a lack of subject matter jurisdiction for purposes of Section 1447C and D, so the appeals court can review it. Justice Thomas's opinion runs all of 6 pages, and yet it drew 3 concurrences. First, Justice Stevens applauded the court for adhering to precedent, i.e. the Thermtron rule, and called the case a welcome departure from the court's sometimes single-minded focus on literal text. This despite the fact that he also indicated that if he were writing on a clean slate, he himself would adhere to the statute's plain text and bar review of all remand orders, period. Second, Justice Scalia wrote separately to note the unremarkability of the decision, saying that the court did nothing more than apply Thermtron to a new set of facts. But he went on to suggest that Thermtron was questionable in its day and is ripe for reconsideration in an appropriate case. Neither Carlsbad nor HIF Bio had asked the court to overturn Thermtron, but Justice Scalia apparently is willing to do so in the future, because the litany of Section 1447 cases following Thermtron, as we've just seen, have, in his words, replaced the statute's clear bar on appellate review with a hodgepodge of jurisdictional rules that have no evident basis even in common sense. Justice Scalia's closing directly responds to Justice Stevens, saying that if this muddle represents a welcome departure from literal text, the world is mad. Instead, said Justice Scalia, what is needed to clean up the mess is a welcome return to a focus on congressionally enacted text by reconsidering Thermtron. Finally, Justice Breyer, joined by Justice Souter, also expressed dismay with the anomalous results of the court's precedents on Section 1447. As he noted, a case like Carlsbad, this case, where the remand decision is discretionary and unlikely to involve major federal legal questions, can nonetheless be reviewed on appeal. But a case like Power X, where the remand decision involved a complex federal legal question under the Foreign Sovereign Immunities Act that would lead to serious adverse consequences if the district court got it wrong, cannot be reviewed. Apparently perplexed, Justice Breyer suggested that a team of legal experts should re-examine the matter to see if statutory revision is appropriate. So what's the bottom line? We have what appears to be clear, unambiguous statutory text, but we also have 30 years of Supreme Court decisions standing for the proposition that the clear text means something other than what it says. In Carlsbad Technology versus HIF Bio, the court stuck with the precedent and eschewed the statutory text, even while 4 of the 9 justices acknowledged the growing confusion. A mess of the court's own making, said Justice Scalia. An anomaly that shows something is wrong, said Justice Breyer. A conclusion compelled by stare decisis, notwithstanding the statute's unambiguous contrary command, said Justice Stevens. Substantively, not much has changed. The Federal Circuit was on the short end of a 9-to-1 circuit split that it created in this very case, and the Supreme Court simply restored the status quo. As for the underlying jurisprudential question, it seems unlikely that there will be an opportunity anytime soon for the court to reconsider Thermtron, and even if there is, the notion that a statute once construed stays construed until Congress intervenes may well be strong enough to preclude a majority from overruling it. So, either the mess stays in place, or we look to Congress to clean it up. And maybe Justice Breyer's expert panel is not such a bad idea after all. This has been Brian Foster on Carlsbad Technology versus HIF Bio. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.